Amen. Come on, let's give it up to Jesus just real quick. He deserves it today. Holiday weekend, 4th of July, 2020. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you for watching online today. We have people watching all over our area, our state, and the nation, and various nations of the world. And we're honored to have you today. We're honored to have you in the room today. And we're doing our best as we navigate the COVID-19 crisis. And so thank you. I also just want to say thank you for being a praying church, a generous church. You know, since this pandemic has happened, over 350 people have come to Jesus these last 3 or 4 months. Come on, I mean, that's the greatest thing right there. That's awesome. And through your generosity and just your kindness, we've been able really to do more than we've ever done. And so on a daily basis on the West Side location, we are serving families with food, with clothing, and with furniture and things that they need. And I mean, it's amazing. And it's more families really than ever before based on the crisis. We partnered with an agency here in our city. It was started by a lady in our church, and we were honored to do so because we gave over 6,000 meals away in Bloomington to families in need. Come on, somebody. During the highlight of the crisis. And this Wednesday, we get the chance to give a car to a single mother who doesn't have a vehicle and to bless her as she is traveling now out of town for her job. And I'm excited to give her a car this week. Come on. It's good to be a generous person in a generous church. Amen? So thank you. Thank you so much, because I believe we're doing our best with it. And I believe that the best is yet to come. If the Holy Spirit's here in the midst of all this chaos, that God is here and He's going to help us. And so for this month of July, what we wanted to do as we think about, you know, the COVID-19 crisis, it's the pandemic that has affected the nations of the world. Our country, you know, celebrates its 244th birthday this weekend. And I'm so thankful for all the freedoms we have, all the opportunities that we have here in our country. And yet our country has so many complexities, so many things that are good, bad, and indifferent, and yet we still have all these freedoms, and I'm thankful for that. And so we're still dealing with the old wounds of racism and the tension that has. And then we're dealing with economic issues, people not working, and they're strained financially. So it just keeps going. In fact, Pastor Kim and I, we have a pastor friend who passed away about a week and a half ago of COVID-19. And so this is happening around us, and so we thought of this series, What's Next? And I'll just say right now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to give you the answers of what's next. I don't know for our nation or the world, but I do know that every weekend this month, I want to preach to myself, I want to encourage you to take some practical steps of, while we don't know what is next, and that can be a fearful thought, an anxious thought, an unknown thought, that God does hold tomorrow in His hand, and that you and I can be prepared for what's next, because we have a faith that's rooted in Jesus. So today, I want to start off this series, What's Next?, with a message entitled Rock and Sand. If you don't mind, turn to your neighbor and say, Rock and Sand. Amen. If you don't have a mask, just cover your mouth and say, Rock and Sand. Amen. So Father, I thank You today for this great worship experience. I thank You, Lord, for Your presence in this place. I thank You, Jesus, that, Lord, keep us safe in this room and as we leave, excuse me, I thank You, Lord, for being with us. I thank You, Lord, right now that willingly all of us lay down our resistance. We set aside any distraction in this room and online, and we receive something. All of us take a next step in our faith today. And we give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And I want to preach out of these verses. This is the famous message that Jesus preached. It consists of 3 chapters in the book of Matthew. I would encourage you to read it sometime, maybe even this week, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. I've been to that mountain there in Israel, and they believe thousands were there, and He used the natural acoustics of the terrain to preach the message to the masses. And in these 3 chapters, there's great nuggets, there's the Beatitudes, there's so many things. But in this part of the message, He's getting ready to end it. And He says this, and I want to unpack the idea of rock and sand today. Because Jesus said in verse 24, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But notice this. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So notice the two distinctions. There's a great difference of hearing the Bible. Maybe as we read it on our own, we listen to it on our own, we hear a message, whether it's in person or online. But there's a big difference of listening and applying it, living by it, versus listening and just moving on with our life. In fact, in this passage, it's the difference between rock and sand. So as we think about what's next and what's happening, every person alive has to make the decision of what they will build their home on. Everyone builds their home on something. And Jesus is asking us to build our home on the rock and not the sand. And I want to unpack both of these to give practicality to it and to also share how easily it is to gravitate to the sand. So I realize some of us in this room and online are built on the rock and we're moving forward in our faith. Others are still deciding. Maybe others are on the sand. Maybe others are being tempted to move to the sand. Who knows where we're at, but God does. And today I want to encourage you with this message. So notice my prop, the center block up here. Just imagine it being a huge boulder with me, okay? But if you think about this rock, even this center block, I can put my foot on it because it's stable and sturdy. Its shape and size will not change because it's rock. It's steady, it's steadfast, and it's sure. Many buildings are built with stones like these. Just imagine a massive boulder or a massive piece of rock. How it won't move. It won't be changed in its shape, if you will. And when a storm comes, it will stand the test of time. This idea allows me to even stand on this rock. It allows me to have support. And I'm secure on this, even though it's moving a little bit, right? I have support, and I'm steady, and I'm secure in standing on here and preach to you right now because of this rock and because of its disposition, if you will, and what it is. In this passage, Jesus is saying, if you will listen to the teachings of Christ and apply it, then it's like you and I building our house on bedrock, and we will not be shaken. Have you noticed since, I believe, the month of March, for our country in particular, we have been in a storm, haven't we? We've been in a storm it's impacted our nation, the nations of the world. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine that I've known for 20 years recently, and he was telling me that some of our mutual friends overseas, pastors and church leaders overseas, and their countries are totally locked down right now, and they are believing God every day that they and their families will at least get one meal to eat together. This is a massive shutdown across the planet. And right now we need Jesus because we're in a storm. And we're going to probably face personal storms, not only in this moment, but in the days to come. This is a great message and positivity right now, amen? But this is why we have to be on the rock. Because right now we're in a storm, and where we have our house is revealed in the storm, if it's on the rock or not. And so right now, as we're in a storm, this is incumbent upon us. And Jesus is saying that when the storm comes, if you're built on the rock, you will not collapse. You will not crumble. Because notice, I'm on the rock right now, and I am what I am because it is holding me up. Now, we are, as a Christian, we know who the rock is. It is Jesus. And we are built and fashioned on Christ. In fact, the Old Testament calls him the rock of our salvation. It also says he's the Ancient of Days, meaning he is a bad mamma jamma. Come on, somebody. He is before time, And he was God before time began. He is the God right now in the midst of this unsettling time. And he'll be God forever after time because he's the rock of ages. And you and I are built on him. So if you think about this, and I know maybe this sounds basic or maybe it doesn't, but I want you just to stay with me. When you and I are saved and we choose not only to be saved, but we choose to obey the scripture and we choose to obey what the Bible says and live our lives, our values, our behavior, our core values are based on the scripture. When I do that, what I'm doing is I'm not basing myself on an idea or a theory. I'm basing my life on the person of who Jesus is. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So notice when I build my life on Christ, it's not just a choice of faith on the deity totem pole. No, my God is the God of the heavens and the earth. He made it all by the mouth, or by his mouth, by his word. As he spoke, everything happened. And then he gave it to you and I. And so as you and I stand on this rock of Jesus, because he is steady, I am now steady. Because he is sure, I am now sure. Because he has endurance, I now have endurance. Notice my position is based on who he is. It's not because of me. I'm just standing on who he is. And so because I'm standing on who he is, I take on who he is in my life. And so when storms come, I'm not going to be tossed to and fro. I don't have to quit my faith. I don't have to question what's going on, but I can stand firm because I am built. I am rooted on Jesus and who Jesus is. And Jesus said that when the storms come, when we're on the bedrock, our house will stand. Now notice, if you notice rocks can be smooth because of the process over time and water and all that. Rocks can also a lot of times be jagged and rough. It's hard sometimes to stand on the rock of our salvation, isn't it? Sometimes it's easier said than done. Fads creep in and wash on shore and then wash out just as quick. And we can be swayed by a temporary fad. We can be moved to think a different thing because of disappointment and anger and offense. We can be motivated by politics and the machine that it is. We can be swayed by this or by that and create a whole new belief system based on a new idea and leave the rock of our salvation. Furthermore, you and I could be tempted because contrary to what I think sometimes we hear, especially in the Western world, is we've heard so many messages on blessing, 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 and I believe in the blessing, that we think that if we're tempted or that we're facing a storm, then we're doing something wrong and God is not good and he's not with us like he is other people. Please hear me. When you and I are built on the rock of our salvation, when everything is going wrong at times in our life, sometimes means it's because we're doing everything right in our life. It's because we are following God. Thank you for the great shouts of applause and amen in this room and online. But I'm preaching better than you're clapping. Because you know, following Jesus doesn't mean I'm going to get everything I want to get when I want it and how I want it. Jesus doesn't own Burger King. He is the King of Kings. And when I stand on his rock, things may go right, things may go wrong. But this is not a bless me club. This is a worship the King of Kings church. And we worship Jesus for who he is. So if I get everything, I get nothing. If everything's going right, if everything's going wrong, I'm built on the rock of my salvation. And if something is hard or I'm being attacked, it doesn't mean that I am wrong or God is wrong. It means the enemy is afraid of me and my purpose. Therefore, I will keep on standing. I will keep on moving because Jesus endured the cross just for me. So when I stand on the rock, I'm standing more. It's not just doctrine. It's not just the heritage of Christianity. No, it's the person of Jesus. He's the bedrock of my soul. He's the lover of my soul. He's the anchor of my hope, and I'm built on who he is. This is huge today because there's fleeting fantasies and ideologies coming and going with the wind. And whether you're a Christ follower or not, you and I have to make a conscious decision. My marriage is built on the rock. And if I'm divorced, if I want to get married again, my new marriage will be built on the rock. My parenting will be built on the rock. How I view race will be built on the rock. How I handle money will be built on the rock. How I govern my life is built on the rock. This is massive because you and I, in and of ourselves, have other aspects of our lives. We have money. Is money wrong? No, money is good if it is used in the right way. In fact, the Bible says that he will bless you and I with money as we honor him with what he asks of us. Self-image isn't wrong in and of itself, especially when it's based in the identity of Christ in us, the hope of glory. A healthy ego is needed. An unhealthy ego needs to be removed. Even modern times, social media is a tool and a platform to spread good or to do good with it. And so many times it's used in the opposite direction. Politics in our nation is an opportunity for us to vote and practice our right to participate in our elected officials. And I think everyone in our church, in this room and online, should vote. But I will never lead you on how to vote. People get mad at me about this, but I'm not going to be up here trumping or championing a political party, because we are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so you need to do what you need to do and follow your convictions. But politics outside of the boundaries of our faith and just swallowing us up can be a problem. Sports is an amazing thing, for example. Popularity, all of us want acceptance. Nothing wrong with that. Even our sexuality and how God made us sexual people, followed in the confines of the scriptures and what God has asked us to do, it's a beautiful and powerful thing. Even the ethnicity that we bear and that we are as people is a celebration of who God has made us to be. And we are made in the image and the likeness of God. These things and so many more are a part. They're woven into the fabric of our experience. Really the experience of every human in the world at some level. Especially in our country. And yet, you and I cannot base our life totally and only on these things. You and I have to base our life on the rock of our salvation. You see, when money is under the hand of God, it is a blessed thing. When my identity is blessed in the image of God and I understand who I'm not and who I am because of Jesus, it's a healthy thing. When I utilize social media and I filter through news media, come on somebody, right? God bless the news. I filter through that in the proper lens. When I think about Democrats or Republican, I'm honored that I get a chance to vote and be a part of the process, but I'm not standing on Republicans and I'm not standing on Democrats. I'm standing on Jesus. And my life and the expectancy, hear me, the expectancy of the good in my life is not based on who's in office. It's based on the God in whom I serve. And he will bless me and he can do whatever I can't do. So I gauge that, but I'm standing on God, but I participate in the opportunity that I have. I see people different than me through the eyes of the Creator, that he created red, yellow, black, white, and brown, and different, all that in his sight, our skin, our hair texture, I mean, and the shape, and all that we are is from God. But I'm built on Jesus, so my identity as a white guy comes through God, and I am through him, but I celebrate my heritage, and I honor where I come from. That's why we celebrate color, because all color should be celebrated, because God made all color. So we reject bigotry, racism, and all that, because all of us are in the image and likeness of God, but I'm under Christ and I'm built on him. And so sports and all this and acceptance, all that is under the auspice of the rock. All of it comes through the foundation I'm standing on. And Jesus said, when I do that, my house will not be shaken, because the other option is the sand. And the sand is tempting. The sand represents comfortable, pleasurable. It's easy. Go with the flow. Notice sand held in our hand can morph and shift in however our hand wants it to. Sand can be a beautiful thing. In fact, the scripture speaks of sand in both the positive and the negative. The Bible says that his thoughts toward us are more than the sand on the seashore. Sand is a marvel of his creation, that this substance that God created can keep the mighty oceans at bay and keep them in its limit. It's amazing. And yet in this passage, a sand, or the sand in general, is a negative thing because it's shaky, it's unstable, it's insecure, and it shifts with different pressure. This can be so tempting because the sand right now says, do what feels good. Do what others are doing. Take the easy way. Don't make people mad. The sand says, how do you know what truth is? So just go with the flow and learn as you go. The sand says, I do what I feel like doing. I live life by my rules, and I do it the way I want to do it. And for a season, the Bible says, doing life on the sand that way, the Bible says, brings pleasure. But then the scriptures teach over and over again, and in this passage, that when the storm comes, that house will fall. Because that house is built on shifting sand. It's so easy to go to sand. The sand also speaks, I'm offended. I deserve this. The sand says, I tried God. I prayed. He didn't answer me when I wanted him to. I'm going to the sand. The sand says, no one understands me. So I'm going to isolate and go to the sand. The sand says, I tried to live for God, but I got nothing in return. I'm going to the sand. The sand says, everyone else is doing it, so it must not be wrong for me. The sand says, have you heard this new truth they're teaching? Have you heard this new idea that they're sharing? Certainly, Jesus is old school now. This new thing is the way to go. The sand can allure even the most devoted Christian and those that don't follow Christ. It can allure both of us because it speaks so much to that which maybe is crying out on the inside. The problem is that when we, as we go to the sand, when the storm comes, because the sand gives no security, we will not be secure. Because the sand gives no stability, we will have no stability. And because the sand is always shifting, you and I will always be shifting. In closing, how do we do this today in modern vernacular? How do we stand on the rock and navigate all that's going on around us when the pressures are screaming in our face? Do this, do that. Change your belief. Change your expectation. Don't do this, don't do that. Go this way. Do what you want to do. All this stuff and more. The truth is you and I have to follow Jesus and be rooted on him. And I want to challenge us all today in this room and online that I wish I knew what was going to happen next. I wish I could tell you it will all go back to the normal way we knew things. But I've been hearing the phrase, expect a new normal because a new normal is coming. And I know this, that you and I have got to make a decision in this room and online, me included. I got to be built on Jesus, whether I like what I get or if I don't get what I want. I got to be built on Jesus because of who he is, not based on how I feel. I got to be based on Jesus because he is great, not necessarily because I am. I got to be built on Jesus no matter what the chaos is around me, because Jesus is within me. You see, the beautiful thing about Jesus is this, is that when I'm on the rock, there may be a storm around me, but there doesn't have to be a storm in me. There may be chaos around me, but it doesn't have to be chaos in me. It may be upheaval around me, but it does not have to be upheaval in me. And when I'm on the sand, when the storm comes, the chaos around my house will be chaos in my house. And the turmoil around my house will be turmoil in my house. That's why Paul said that we have supernatural peace that will guard my heart and mind. And it surpasses my understanding because it's supernatural, but it's based on not my money. It's not based on education. Both of those are wonderful. It's not based on my family pedigree. It's based on Jesus because I'm built on the rock. So as I get ready to close, how do we navigate politics? I would ask you at City Church, vote you. Vote how you want to vote. But man, don't be based on, don't base your happiness on a Republican or Democrat. Don't base your faith on them. We're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're serving the God of the heavens and the earth, and he will rule and reign. How do we handle COVID-19? All we see around us, standing on the rock. I want to encourage you to practice wisdom. Wash your hands. Come on, somebody. Wash your hands. Wear a mask as you feel led to. Respect other people. But also stand on the rock. Read Psalms 91. No plague shall come down my dwelling. Believe what the Bible says, that he will give his angels charge over you and keep you wherever you go. I don't know about that. I believe what the Bible says. I take all of it. Listen, if I stand on the rock, I'm not going to tell Jesus what he can or can't do. I want all of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is for me, give me the Holy Spirit. If healing is for me, give me healing. If blessing is for me, give me blessing. If protection is for me, give me protection. I'm not in the business of telling God this and that and what he won't or will do. I want all of God. So I handled COVID-19 with wisdom and care, and I walk in love. How do I handle relationships on the rock? It's a good question, because when I'm on the rock of Jesus, really, I don't have to let unforgiveness rob my life. I don't have to let grudges be a weight on my shoulders. I don't have to have anger and bitterness and just this revenge all seething within me. I can let that go because God forgave me so I can forgive others. Because I'm standing on the rock, I refuse to hold grudges. Because I'm standing on the rock, I refuse to sow discord. And because I'm standing on the rock, I refuse to hold on to the past. I let go and I let God. When I see race, and I'm on the rock, I see my black and brown brothers and sisters as made in the image of God. I see white people as my brothers and sisters made in the image of God. I see Spanish-speaking people as a gift to the body and a gift to the earth. I see my Asian brothers and sisters as a people group that are so powerful and awesome. And I see all people through his eyes. And I lay down my right to be right. And I lay down that so I can learn and grow more. After all, Jesus said, he that will lay down his life for his friend. So what if we would lay down our right to be right and say, I want to know you more. So when I'm standing on the rock, when I see race, I'm not seeing differences even though there are. I'm not seeing arguments even though there is. I'm seeing a heart. I'm seeing a person. And because Jesus sees me, I want to see them. And because I'm built on Christ, my whole view shifts, not from politics and not from this, but through the eyes of the kingdom. I see God. I see them. This is what I do on the rock. I see Jesus. I'm in closing today for the third time. I'll never forget, I saw this played out in my own life. There was a lady in our church before she went to heaven. She was the oldest living member of our church at that time. Dorothy Pearson was a great woman, and she did so much for our church. She grew up serving God and sold out to Jesus as a child. She married a great man named Clark. He was actually our praise and worship leader decades ago. Wrote songs, had an orchestra, all of it. It's amazing. She had two children, and she loved God, and her family did too. Clark died way too young, way too young. My mom was about 16 years old when Clark died. And my mom told me that when she went to the funeral, of course, to support Dorothy and her two children, that when they did the praise and worship part of the funeral, Dorothy on the front row stood up and raised her hands and she worshiped God. Pain, loss, devastation, don't know what to do. A storm hit her life. I love God. She worshiped. Didn't stop there though. Years later, I would come along and I would be a teenager and play with some of her grandchildren. And her son, her only son, died way too young. And at that funeral, on the front row, during the praise and worship portion, she stood and worshiped God. She built her life on the bedrock. And I know that story isn't maybe fun to hear, but we're talking about building on the rock in the midst of a storm. She did that. And as I became a Christian and I began to serve God, I would see Dorothy come in the snow, in the rain, in the sunshine. She would come and sit in the same seat every time. As we began to do new songs and new styles, she wouldn't sit and pout. She didn't know the words. She wouldn't say, I'm not going to worship. I don't like this music. She would stand up and she would do it loud too. She wouldn't know anything. And she would go, oh. She obeyed the scripture. She made a joyful noise to the Lord. She didn't know what she was doing, but oh. Participating and worshiping, built on the rock, joy in her spirit, in the midst of total loss, and I'm sure why and what's next, and pain. Dementia started to rob Dorothy of her memory, and she was in a nursing home the last years of her life. And my mom and dad, I would visit her some, but it was tough for me to see her that way. And my mom and dad would visit her, and it got to the point where Dorothy would look at them and say, "What's your name? Tell me your names again. I don't know you." And mom and dad would introduce themselves again. And then my dad would read a Bible verse, and she would quote the Bible verse as he was reading it. And then my dad would say, "Renee, lead us in worship," and she would sing an old hymn. And Dorothy would pick up the words and sing on pitch and worship God with my mom. And what's amazing is that even though her mind was gone with dementia and she didn't even know the people she knew her whole life, in her spirit, she stood on the rock all those decades, that even sickness and disease and loss and pain couldn't take Jesus away. So even when she couldn't remember who someone was, her spirit always knew who Jesus was. So she could sing and worship and quote the Bible, and she died and entered into her glory because she was built on the rock of her salvation. I'm telling you today, be built on the rock of your salvation. Don't go to the sand. Stand on the rock and let Jesus be Jesus in you. If you believe in this God, give him a great hand clap of praise in the midst of chaos, because the chaos will not be in you. Amen. Please stand to your feet today. You online, you in this room, as you stand, hearts are bowed, heads are bowed, please. We're going to worship God here in just a moment with a great worship song. But in this moment today, there's so much pressure on you and me to go to the sand. Maybe you are on the sand. Maybe you've never come to the rock. You've never received Christ. Maybe you have and you've left him and you know that. You need to come back to him. Or maybe you're in a battle right now and you feel yourself teetering between the rock and the sand. I want to encourage you today. I know this is painful. It's unsettling. It's unknown. It's divisive. It's argumentative, it's political, and yet you and I have to rise above that and decide, what am I going to build my life on? And I would challenge me and you to build our life on Jesus. And when we do his teaching, when the storm comes, storms will come. We're in one right now. But when they come, we will stand because of who we know and because of who we serve. As your head is bowed and your heart is bowed right now, I want to ask you, if you've never received Jesus, if you've never received Christ, and or you have and you have drifted away, I would ask you to come back to him, you in this room and online. So right now in this moment, if that's you and you say, "Yeah, you know, Pastor Dave, I need to receive Jesus for the first time, and or I need to come back to God because I feel myself drifting away from him." If that's you in this moment, as heads are bowed and hearts are bowed, right now go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you to receive Christ today and to receive Jesus. God bless you today. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. People coming to God. Thank you so much. Thank you. I see it. People coming to God today. Thank you so much. And you online, I know many of you online are doing that. How many would say today, "Pastor Dave, man, I feel like I'm on the rock, but I feel like I'm being pulled by temptation. I'm being pulled by different things." Maybe you feel, "I'm slipping. I feel myself going to the sand because of whatever reason, and I want to be sure on the rock. I want to be steadfast on the rock. I don't know what's next, but no matter what, I want to be on the rock." And you want support in that today. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven right now. I want to pray for you all over this room. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You online, thank you. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out. And please say, "Lord Jesus, my heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn away from that. I refuse it. I say yes to you. Have my heart. Have my soul. Take my body. I am yours. I choose to be on the rock for all my days. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen."